First up on the programme this morning, the school transfer test. It's been a huge issue in Northern Ireland since Martin McGuinness scrapped the 11 plus when he was Education Minister. I think 2008 was when the last official test was. And it's back in the headlines again. Primary schools are now free to prepare pupils for the unregulated tests. It follows a decision by the now Education Minister Peter Weir to reverse the Department of Education policy. I spoke to him earlier and began by asking him about the changes.
Well, each year the department issues guidance, particularly in terms of the transfer test. I suppose there are a number of changes this year. First of all, the official position of the department in terms of opposition to academic selection has been removed. But more particularly, the guidance gives freedom of choice for schools, and particularly at primary school level, to be able to, they're given the opportunity to facilitate preparing children for the test, doing preparation tests, familiarisation with exam settings, teaching and exam techniques, but it's been given the freedom of choice to the schools. Nobody is being compelled to do anything, but it actually lifts any perceived threat or sanction from schools who want to do that.
It does sound a little bit, Minister, that you're giving your blessing. This is something you would encourage for as many schools as possible to take up, get involved in.
Well, I think from that point of view, I would be supportive of academic selection. I think it's a good thing if schools are preparing, or they sort of helping their children through the transfer process. However, the whole point in this is actually about giving autonomy to schools themselves, giving that freedom of choice. There will be schools who will take a view that they don't want anything to do with the tests, and that is a matter clearly for themselves. But what it actually is a choice is now being put back in the hands of schools. And that, I think, flows through with very much some of the other issues that I've looked in terms of autonomy of schools, be it around issue of the GCSE boards, be it around issues around practical class sizes. It is actually about decisions getting taken at the school level.
Because,
rather than anybody standing over a school with a big stick saying, if you don't do this, or if you do this, there will be some level of sanction against you.
Yeah, the first thing that came into my head, Minister, when I heard the news, is that if teachers are coaching students, what happens to those students that aren't taking part? Do they sit out? Are they sidelined?
Well, I think the issue is, ultimately, this is a permissive regulation. It's obviously up to schools to decide what they want to do and how they want to do it. You mentioned about coaching. Actually, I think that's been part of the problem. We've seen a situation that the previous guidelines, quite a lot of schools have simply stuck to those to the letter and therefore done nothing at all in relation to it. Other schools have actually ignored it, which doesn't create a level playing field. What we've actually seen there's been a growth actually in essentially private tuition.
Yeah, I understand what you're saying there, but just going back to that initial question there, Minister, in terms of those students, the parents, they decide that they don't, for whatever reason, they don't want their kids to take part, and they're in the same class, which obviously, there can be issues with class sizes, etc., but if they're there and the teachers are trying to coach those students whose parents want them to go through this, what happens to the other?
What I'm saying is it's up to the school to determine how they want to take things forward in that regard.
Sure,
Let me answer. Even if you go back to the very much the old days at one stage of the 11 plus, there would be a situation in which some pupils took it and not every pupil necessarily took that test. Some parents would have opted out in relation to that. So it is actually in that sense about choice. And let's remember, what is being tested in terms of the test are things which largely speaking are within the curriculum, there are things that are actually being taught already. So this is not as if this is some massive divergence. What it is, as I said, is allowing that degree of freedom of opportunity.
Yes, it's making it okay for teachers or for schools that want to coach students for these tests to do so. So obviously, as the Minister for Education, you have responsibility for all the children, regardless of what position they take on the transfer test, whether they take them or not. So just a very simple question. What actually, practically, in the classroom would happen?
Practically in the classroom, it is up to the schools to determine precisely what meant.
What would you advise them to do?
The whole point in this is it's not me being dictatorial or prescriptive.
Yes, but obviously they might look for some advice and guidance from the Minister.
And from the guidance has been issued in terms of what they're entitled to do and what they're not entitled to do. And from that point of view, it's a matter ultimately then for the schools themselves to determine precisely how they want to take that forward on that basis. So, in many ways, if I'm giving people the freedom, it then kind of negates that to then say, here's a prescriptive way that you should be doing a particular thing. Mm-hmm. It is up to the schools. And indeed, I suspect there will be some schools who will take a particular view, for instance, on the transfer test or academic selection, who will not want to do anything at all in relation to it. And that ultimately is, again, a matter for themselves.
In terms of the tests themselves...
This is about trying to remove, for schools, parents and pupils, any barriers that
Yes, and that's been referred to as that perceived threat. But in terms of the coaching and when you know, students are being trying to, they're trying to help them along. You know, these tests are based on what's in the curriculum. So surely if the schools are doing their job in the first place, they're already learning this stuff. Do they really need that extra help, that extra coaching?
And it's the opportunity. What I'm saying is that we're removing any bar. Indeed, what has been happening is a number of schools, this is something that's already been happening already. Mm. This is about simply actually where some schools have either perceived a threat and some have essentially ignored it. Mm. You know, you're left with either sort of comply or deny at the moment. And in fact, this is actually at least putting things out into the open, giving the opportunities for all schools to have that. I think that's a fairly sensible and reasonable way forward.
Okay.
I have no desire to get into some sort of trench warfare on academic selection. What I am interested in is ensuring that there is fairness out there, that there's the opportunity and freedom of choice for schools.
Of course, and this is has been for quite some time quite a divisive issue. In terms of the coaching and what you've said so far, is it something that perhaps then should be left to out of hours so that then there's no dilution, there's no separation, you know, one teacher, one classroom?
And from that point of view, schools are perfectly entitled to do that. The whole point on this is it actually gives them the freedom of opportunity. I'm not prescribing. I am not saying you need to do this in hours or out of hours. I'm giving schools the opportunity to decide for themselves. In
relation. Of course, if they did the out of hours issue, that could then lead to overtime or more money because obviously teachers are busy as it is, you know.
And with respect on it, what I'm saying is I think there will be choices for schools to take that. This is the whole point of this. And indeed, you know, this is actually, I suppose, reflecting a reality, which is certainly there are divisions of opinion, both politically and indeed for society as a whole, as regards academic selection. There won't be necessarily a consensus out there on any of these issues. But also, I think the other reality is that we have had academic selection. It is continuing in Northern Ireland. It is here to stay. It is legally enforceable. Indeed, and from the point of view of the numbers taking the test, I think we've reached last year the highest number that have ever taken transfer tests. So this is not something that's withering on the vine. It's actually something that's growing in popularity.
Yes, there is a demand there for it.
And this is actually reflecting the reality of that. And I think, irrespective of whether you're pro-testing or not, there's a reality that is out there. And I think we need to actually make a permissive regime to ensure that this can happen.
One of the big frustrations, Minister, among many parents is that there are two versions of the test. So this unofficial transfer test, you've got obviously the AQE and the GL assessment test. Mm-hmm. And some pupils then end up sitting both. There's a lot of pressure on young people. I remember myself when I was doing the official 11+. That's hardly ideal, is it?
No, pressure is never ideal in that regard. And I think certainly I'll be working with the organisations to see if we can find a much more common way forward between
you mean
the organisations.
You mean one test?
Well, with respect on it, I'll be working with those organisations. I don't want to prejudge any outcome. I think ideally I would like to see a situation in which there was a single test on that basis. But at the very least, let's see what we can do in terms of trying to reduce the differences between the two. What you have at the moment is about, in terms of those who are doing both tests, there's an overlap, I think, of about 2,000 pupils each year. I said, clearly that's not an ideal situation. None of these things are perfect in that regard, but it's actually trying to work with the situation at the present and try to actually...
How realistic is that one test? Do you think, is it something that is it within the next couple of years, Minister? Are you hopeful for it?
I would hope to see what can be done in relation to that and work with the organisations. That's got to be a matter of discussion, persuasion and agreement on that basis. That isn't something which entirely lies within my hands.
Of course, it's obviously something you think is attainable. It's something that could potentially happen.
It is something that potentially could happen, Vinny, and I'm prepared to invest the time in doing that and doing what I can. But you're hopeful that this will happen? Well, I'm hopeful of a lot of things in that regard. I suppose an optimist by life isn't I? And certainly, I think look, there's been good work that has been done by both the GL assessment in terms of TPTC and AQE in terms of their tests. You know, there were predictions whenever these were brought in that the whole system would collapse very quickly in a welter of legal challenges. They have been done very professionally. Now, I think there is a concern sometimes among... particularly among parents, that you've got these two sets of tests. And if we were to reach a situation where we can get to a common set of tests between them, I think that would be something that's advantageous. But I'm certainly prepared to explore that with the organisations. But ultimately, it's got to be by way of agreement.
This, to an extent, some will say, Minister, makes the unofficial tests a little bit more official. Do you think, will this in turn affect the numbers that take up these tests, whether it's the two separate tests or they do one? Will you see an increase, do you think?
I think from that point of view, look, in terms of the choices people make, I think it's ultimately up to themselves. I think in terms of the fact, you know, I'm accepting as well the reality is, irrespective, I would be somebody who would be supportive of academic selection, but even if you're opposed to it, it is clear that given the volume of people, given the fact that, this has been something that's been ongoing, I suppose effectively now for the guts of a decade.
Yeah, 2008, I think, was the last one.
On that side of things, which means for the last 8 years, we're going into the ninth year on that basis. Indeed, what we're actually seeing in terms of, again, some people have made dire predictions. Some of the people who've been doing this have now been going through GCSE and A-levels, who've been through the original those original tests. And we've seen actually a great deal of success within that. You know, I want to see where we can cherish the best of our education system and where there's any possibilities for improvements on that side of it.
There's still a bit of a stalemate there, Minister, in terms of the official 11 plus. It's not coming back. Grammar schools, they're staying. They're not going anywhere. Today's announcement is going to tweak things a little bit, but it doesn't really change that overall stalemate.
The reality is I've reflected in terms of the advice, the realities of the situation. I think there are a couple of major realities. One, that academic selection is here to stay. It's not going away and needs to be catered for. But I've also accepted that there's not going to be a political consensus on this. I'm not going to have a large amount of time in a form of trench warfare between supporters of academic selection, such as myself, and opponents to try to find a state-agreed system on it, because I don't think that's realistic that that's going to happen. So what I'm trying to do is provide practical improvements for people and indeed try to ease the situation for parents and pupils. Benny, I'm going to have to go now at this stage.
Okay, well, I understand. I appreciate your time. Can I add one final question, yep. Peter? Is yourself, did you do the 11 plus?
Well, I did. That would be a slightly long question. Yeah, effectively the equivalent of it. My year did a slightly...
Did you pass?
A version. Yes, I passed. and I moved on to Bangor Grammars, an excellent school. But, you know, all our pupils actually, whether they pass or whether they don't pass, I think we've actually got great results out of...
Well, that's true. I failed mine. I failed mine miserably, but, you know, some people would say...
And you've ended up with the Nolan Show, so I let people draw their own conclusions.
Minister Weir, thank you very much for your
thank
time
you
this morning.
Okay, bye.
There you go. This will obviously affect a lot of us. You might have your own memories of when you sat or decided not to sit the 11 plus, when it was that, or perhaps you're putting your own kids through it, making those decisions right now. Do you take up those transfer tests for secondary school or for grammar school? Regular Nolan Show commentator Chris Donnelly is the vice principal of Holy Cross Boys School in North Belfast. He's on the line. Good morning to you, Chris.
Good morning, Vinny.
Also with us, Deputy General Secretary of the Ulster Teachers Union, Jackie Reid. Good morning, Jackie.
Morning, Vinny.
Chris, there's obviously a demand here for selection.
Yes, I mean, I think schools have been in an unenviable position for quite some time now. We have a political disagreement in this society going back generations over the issue of academic selection at age 11. We also, at a school level, we feel that there is an expectation of parents, and some of that's not driven by popularity, it's driven by fear, and fear that, you know, their children will accrue advantages from getting into one school as opposed to others. And we also have to deal with instruction from not just the minister, and obviously that changes because now we have a DUP minister and previously we had Sinn Féin ministers, but also from the department and from sectoral authorities. So I do have some sympathy where the minister is saying that schools appreciate a degree of pressure being removed from them. But where I do have difficulty is that nothing that Peter Weir has said today will promote educational equality. Nothing that he said will address underachievement, nor the profound challenges facing those tasks of educating the overwhelming majority of kids with behavioural, social and emotional needs. Because through selection, we create an additional burden of expectation upon our non-grammar sector. And I just worry about the priorities of the new minister, that this is the way he's gone, you know, as opposed to trying to come up with a strategy and initiatives that are going to be focused on addressing those challenges, as opposed to the vexed issue of selection.
Jackie, what are your members, what will they think of this? Will they welcome the removal of pressure from a lot of those primary schools? They're stuck in between teachers, parents and the department.
Well, certainly, whilst I know that the point of this isn't to go into the whole fundamental arguments around transfer, and I'll put that to the side for the moment, but certainly primary schools have been under intense pressure trying to meet the needs of parents and meet the needs, if you like, of the unregulated system. Now, that the removal from that point of view of the pressure on schools to do things under the radar, if you like, because parents are feeling that it should be done, that, I suppose, is
breaking the rules, basically. So they can now, it's not breaking the rules anymore, they can now do what they want.
But the difficulty with it is it's a huge increase in workload is one big issue, because we now have, in the days of the regulated test, and as I say, putting aside the arguments for and against the regulated test itself, you did have a particular test and the format was understood. Now there are unregulated tests which are set by other bodies, which now there's going to be an expectation on primary schools to prepare children for those tests. And your previous speaker was absolutely right in saying that parents are pushing children through these tests through fear. There is the message going out there that you need to give the child a chance. Now, there are loads of chances in our education system which do not necessarily need to be accessed through this test, but parents are feeling the pressure to put them in, and that pressure is going to be felt in the primary schools by the teachers who are trying to bring the children up through the top end of the primary school.
It was one of the issues that we brought up with the minister in terms of what actually happens in the classroom. So if you have a classroom situation where 50% say of the students are going to sit one of these tests and 50% their parents decide that they're not going to, so what does the teacher do? How do they divvy up their time to make sure that no students are left at the sideline while half the class are doing one thing and half are doing something else?
Well, I mean, the thing is that, I mean, primary school teachers will tell you they always differentiate to suit the needs of different children. But this adds an extra problem. Well, actually, two extra problems. One of them is the fact that there are a range of unregulated tests. So even within the children who are doing a test or potentially two tests, there's going to be a range of preparation required. But the difference in differentiation in terms of transfer is that the children who are not doing the test, and there was mention made already of the kind of psychological impact, the emotional impact, and that feeling of the system doesn't suit me, that is reinforced at those times in the classroom whenever some children are preparing for a certain type of education, if you like, and others aren't. So while teachers, I'm quite confident, can manage the differentiation, it's the whole message behind it, and the fact that time in the classroom is precious, and we have got a curriculum to deliver, and we are not there to deliver for these unregulated tests, and the workload is just going to grow, and I think teachers are going to come under an incredible amount of pressure.
There would be some, Jackie, that would reflect back to when the 11 plus was there. Say, for example, when I was in school, you know, there was, in every classroom, not everyone was sitting the test. So you would have a mixture of people with different abilities, different skills, a range, maybe even people with learning difficulties. So it's already been there before on an official level where teachers have had to deal with this.
Yes, it has. And I actually, when I taught for 20 years, and the vast majority of those years, I taught transfer, actually, despite my personal views on it. And, you know, many of the children did very well. But you're always grappling with that, because there is always that, you know, that sense of making sure that you are providing good educational opportunities for those children at the times whenever this preparation for testing is going on. And at least when that was removed, when the regulated test was removed, schools were able to balance that in a different way. And many of them, as was said at various times, either didn't do preparation at all, or they only did preparation at a different time outside, potentially, of the school day for those children who wished to go that route. But now there is going to be that pressure for it to come back into the main school time. And that's going to put a pressure right across the board, whether children are going into the test or not.
Chris, I'll come back to you in just a second, Jackie. Chris, is this just not the minister reflecting the reality of what's happening out there?
Yes, to a degree it is, Vinny. It's also reflecting the reality of his own ideological position and where that varies from the Sinn Féin position.
Although he's not putting pressure. He is not saying you have to do this. No school has to do this. It's simply given the option and removing that perceived threat.
Yes, no, and I appreciate that. And I think that there will be some schools who will have felt that threat and will be, in a sense, relieved. But I think just taking up what Jackie had said, schools have to be incredibly pragmatic and resourceful institutions because of the contradictions that have existed in the sense that we have been moving towards a new revised curriculum, which is supposed to be skills-focused, which is focused on a breadth of curricular areas. Of course, it does have numeracy and literacy still at the heart of them, an old language that's Maths and English. But The challenge obviously presented by the transfer is it's more narrow content-based as opposed to skills. So schools are used to having to try to balance this challenge. I think what Peter Weir is doing from his own perspective is trying to say, well, it's okay to more openly try to meet the needs associated with the content-based approach that was consistent with the test.
Okay, Chris and Jackie, stay there for a second. 030 30 80 55 55 on the phones this morning. 81771 on the text. You can also tweet us. It's at Stephen Nolan, or you can tweet me directly if you'd like. It's at Vinnie Belfast. George, good morning.
Good morning.
What do you think?
I'd just like to say it is the best thing that's ever happened. The Education Authority, they're run about like many Hitlers and the school inspectors over this issue.
Well, you can't say that. People are simply doing their job. So whatever the rules are, they're trying to enforce them.
I know, but people are
setting these rules because they perceive that it's the right thing to do. And obviously, like so many things here in this country, we don't always agree.
Go and be Peter Weir. It mustn't have been the right thing to do.
Okay, George, thank you. We'll go to Councillor Cadogan Enright. Good morning, Councillor.
Good morning. I just wanted to come on and speak on as a parent of a 10-year-old who will be going to secondary school next year. And I really just disgusted that the minister would put petty party politics ahead of the education of our children. I mean, the whole testing thing is entirely unnecessary because every school has a key stage 2 assessment of children in every school in Northern Ireland. Furthermore, in every year, in every school in Northern Ireland, they do an intelligence test and they rate the reading and writing skills of children against that intelligence test to see if they're up to scratch.
Yeah, so your 10-year-old won't be taking part in any transfer test?
Well, what I'm saying is there already exist two entirely separate sets of assessments of children that currently exist in the school at the moment with no stress. The entire selection process is wholly unnecessary. So just with regard to my child, certainly I won't have my child do this test.
Do you think it's unfair on schools to be put in that position where they're in the middle, whereas the department is saying you're not allowed to coach kids to do this and they're getting pressure from some parents that want it?
If I were a teacher, I'd be looking at this and I'd say to myself, look, at the moment now, every child in my class has the intelligence test, the reading and writing level test. They have the key stage 2 test. All this information is available on these children to secondary schools. Why do I have to do a third test? It makes no sense.
Okay, you know? Councillor Enright, thank you. Jackie, can I get you to respond to that?
Yes, there is. You referred earlier on to the fact that there's, or somebody referred earlier on to the fact that it's a skill-based curriculum and so on now, and the testing, much of the testing that's in place has been developed to reflect the type of curriculum that the children have. And schools carry out a range of testing to inform the move forward. And your caller was absolutely right. This particular type of test, it's not actually set, as we know, by the system. It's set by the schools who feel that these are the skills that they require for children to attend their school. And therefore, it is another test. It's necessary if we're going to, I suppose, continue to select children in terms of their academic ability. But as was said, I mean, this does not reflect their academic ability. So it's very, very stressful. It is unnecessary. And we have to look at the system as a whole and find a better way forward of doing it.
Let's bring in another caller at this point. Kieran, good morning.
Morning, Vinny.
What do you think, Kieran? What side of this debate would you take?
I would just, rather than say that, I would rather focus on the question that you asked the minister, who I think, by the way, has passed the buck to schools. But what has been described to you there is a very complex situation in a classroom where the teacher has to make decisions, hundreds of them during the day, about how they're going to teach children. And you pointed out to the minister, what if there arises a scenario where the teacher has to differentiate between those children whose parents want them to take the test and those who don't? Now, that's quite a complicated scenario. And the question that I would like to ask is there a possibility that parents might perceive, prove in reality, that the teacher might be devoting more time, for example, to those children who, to use the word that was used, are going to be coached? And the other question you asked was, should this be done after school time, and should the school be paying the teacher? And I'm wondering again if that could lead to a legal challenge in terms of the misuse of the school's funds for what might be perceived to be a privileged few.
Okay, Kieran, thank you. Jackie, just before we move on, the general overall stalemate, this has tweaked things. We talked to the minister about this. It's changed things slightly, but that overall stalemate is still there. Is this as good as it gets?
I hope not. I hope not. Because the any parent who has put a child through this test recently, and parents feel that they are doing it in the best interest of their children, but any parent, whether the child achieved what they wanted to or didn't, they will tell you that this is an unnecessary, highly stressful system which labels children at a very young age. So we need to be more creative. It's going to cause a lot of workload problems in the short term. It's going to cause all sorts of discussions on what individual schools what should be doing and what primary schools have to do and so on. But, I mean, we really do need to sit down and have a look at this, because tinkering around the edges of it and putting this back into the primary schools and distorting the curriculum of the children in there and increasing the workload of the teachers and increasing the workload of the children, actually, too, isn't actually going to move it forward in a positive way.
Chris, an unhappy compromise?
Yes, I think that there's a division in the society that's existed for generations, and I'm impatient to move the discussion on. We've had this stalemate. I would like to see the minister on the Nolan Show for half an hour, writing an article in the Belfast Telegraph, focusing on what is he going to do to promote educational equality, to address underachievement, those issues, because I think if we have that type of strategy and initiatives around and that focus on that, then there will be uncomfortable questions for those who unquestioningly just accept the argument for grammar schools.